Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for Women Over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi, and welcome to the show today. I'm Sima Shapiro. Today we'll be talking with two supermoms who have written a book called Mom, How Can I Make Money? Helping Your Kid Become a Kidpreneur, an ebook with more than 150 innovative biz ideas for your kidpreneurs, kid-friendly action plans for raising seed money, how to brand your business, how to get the word out, and bang up customer service ideas which will lead to loyal customers. Jenny Stallman and Jody Hageman are Florida-based supermoms with 9 children between them, from an attorney to a toddler, and one on the autism spectrum. Together they host POP Parenting with Jenny and Jody, a one-hour weekly talk radio show. Jenny and Jody are parenting experts and leaders in the homeschool community. They are keynote and featured speakers at homeschool conventions throughout the United States and Canada. Weekly newspaper columnists and freelance writers, Jenny and Jody's articles have been featured in Focus on the Family Publications, Scene Magazine, The Old Schoolhouse Magazine, Mommy Magazine, and Connect, the Florida Parent Educators Association Almanac. Welcome, Jenny and Jody.
Thank you so much for having us.
I'm already tired. Can we take a nap?
Not a whole lot of
napping. Well, you know, a 20-minute power nap is good.
Oh, man, 9 children. I have 4, and it's aggravating. So 9, and you're probably together, the two of you are probably together more than you'd like.
Oh, no, it's a joy. And getting all the kids together is so fun.
Ah, how cool. All right, so let's get right to it. Tell me a little bit about the book. And as I have indicated to you before, I am just a fan. I think this book is amazing. I think that in this day and age, kids have no idea how to do a variety of things, ranging from how to get a job to how to make money to how to save money. And so right there and then, this is serving a purpose. So talk to me a little bit about why you decided to write it.
One of the things that Jenny and I have instilled in our kids when they were very young is we knew that before they leave the house, they need to have a business, a viable business, for multiple reasons. One is it teaches them so many life lessons, and two, to be quite frank, they make their own money. So as a parent, things are expensive, going to camps, the extracurriculars they want, and let's face it, kids love Starbucks. So that can break your bank pretty quick.
Sure.
You know, we decided that when my oldest, who's now 27, and an attorney in New Hampshire, whom I miss very much, but when he was a little guy, my husband was a general contractor, and we homeschooled, and Tony would take Chase to work with him, and he got to see all the subcontractors, and they kept hiring him out. He was a really hard worker, and he loved doing that kind of stuff because he wanted to be like Dad, of course. And Chase just learned all the different trades. You have mini subs. You've got roofers and framers and concrete guys and landscapers and all that. So he learned all that different stuff. And we had an experience where we came across a young man who stayed with us who was actually a millionaire in high school. And when I asked him about it, I just said, you know what, I think this needs to be the new standard in our home. And I said, you need to start a business. And so he decided, after having all of that trade under his belt, he wanted to be a landscaper and have his own lawn mowing company. And he loved it, and he thrived. He registered it. He was legit, and he was in high demand. And, you know, when Jenny and I met, all the kids have talents. They all have different gifts. We decided that this is something we want in our homes, and it's a training. We live in a country that is based on entrepreneurism, and we're not breeding that in our kids. And it's something we as parents need to pour into them and breathe into them and let them go learn those different ways.
I can't help but interject to tell you again what a service this can provide, because I think that in this day and age, kids have no idea. They don't know how to serve people. They have no idea how to provide customer service, and they have no idea how to really plan for a future. Do you agree?
Agree. Oh, totally. Sima, I'll tell you one thing a child will learn if they have their own business is you have to be able to get along with people. Jenny can tell you stories. She's got, her daughter has an amazing henna business, and her son is doing some animation and filming, and he's had situations where he's had confrontation because you're a kid. And sometimes adults don't take kids serious, and you have to grow through that. Jenny, tell the story about Seth. I think it's such an awesome story. He was 12 when he began apprenticing with a local animation studio, and he has gained some pretty marketable skills. He can do videography, he can do video editing, and he can do a lot of different graphic design and animation that companies can use for their own web promotion and for video promotion on YouTube. Every company now has a YouTube channel. People that didn't grow up in this digital age, many companies need to hire that work out because they don't know how to do it. And if they're not large enough to hire someone on staff, they need to freelance it out. And, of course, smaller companies are going to look for the least expensive route. So he was able to get some clientele. And one of the clients, seeing that he was young, really tried to take advantage of his age. He wanted a product done in a short amount of time with super high quality at a very low price. And so Seth spoke with his mentor, and he crafted a very mature email that explained that in this particular line of work, a customer can only have two of those things at a time. They can have a product can be inexpensive, it can be delivered quickly, but then it won't be very high quality. In order to have all three of those things, you're going to pay quite a bit. If you want it to be really well done and you want it to be done quickly, it's going to cost you quite a bit. So it gave him, it empowered him to respectfully stand up for himself. And I think that that has been a life skill that's really served him well in other areas since that day.
Yes. So let's get to real pragmatics that we can offer the listener. What age can kids start their own business, in your view? And secondly, how can they come up with viable business ideas?
Okay. So really, this is going, there is no hard and fast rule in this area when it comes to how old they should be. But what we will say is, number one, it should be their business. It should not be the business that the parent runs for them. So they should have strong communication skills. They should have the ability to research. They should have good writing and reading skills. Most kids around middle school have reached that level. Some are very mature and may be able to do it at a younger age, and others may be later bloomers and need to wait until high school. So that's sort of the target. And then basically to find a business idea, you have to look in two places. You have to figure out where the need is, so that's looking without yourself, and then you have to look at what is within you. So to look without, you want a child to begin to ask, what kind of things do my friends buy? What kind of things do I buy? What does my family spend their money on? And really begin to pay attention to what people are willing to pay for and what kind of needs there are out there. And then look within and say, what do I like to do? What am I good at? And is that something that people can profit from? My daughter, who runs a very successful henna tattoo business, she's a high schooler. She found this concept because we were at an amusement park with a big group of friends, and I noticed that a large group of teenagers were foregoing the really fun roller coasters just so that they could sit and wait to get a Sharpie drawing on their arm. She was drawing on all the kids. And I thought, there might be a business idea. So I went to her and said, why don't you research henna tattoos and see what you find? And once she began to experiment with it with her friends at no cost, she saw quickly that her phone was ringing. And so she saw something that she was good at, but something that people were willing to pay for. Kids may not be able to get real tattoos, but they can get a temporary tattoo. And it's affordable, much more affordable than a real tattoo.
Wow, that's brilliant. In your estimation, how much work should parents do to help a kid with this? And also, at what point should parents determine it's okay to shut this down?
Well, how much work should a parent do? Not a whole lot. Here's the deal, though. As a parent, the kids aren't going to know where to start for the most part. Your job is going to be to give them tools. And, you know, our book takes a child through how to do a business and with a parent's guidance so that they can understand, you know, have mom and dad look at it and say, Mom, what do you think of this? Like, if they're going to launch an advertising campaign, probably someone should look at that and say, okay, maybe this isn't a good idea. Or failing is the best way to learn how something doesn't work. We are actually offering a class right now on Monday evenings. We're teaching live, taking kids through this Kidpreneur thing, and it's really fun to watch the little light bulbs go off. As much as the parent can take their hands off, your kids are going to grow that much further.
That's so, great.
You know, at a young age, of course, you know, kids struggle with that. Jenny's got a little one, Eden, who is 9, and I always want to say she's 8, because, you know, she's not supposed to be that old yet. But, you know, Eden's just not in a place where she's ready to start a business yet.
Sure.
Sam, at that age, her little guy, was totally ready.
Sure.
So every child is in a different place. And I think as a parent, you have to assume that they're strong and not weak, but you know when they're ready and when they're not ready.
So what point would you choose to shut down the business if you see that they're playing, but even they don't notice they're playing? You know what I mean? Playing the game.
I think, number one, a business is a business if it's making money. And if they've given it their all and they've done everything that they know to do and it's not making money, then it's certainly viable that the business shut down. As long as they don't have any outstanding orders, they don't have any commitments that they have not fulfilled, then it's acceptable for kids to shut down a business. For example, my daughter who does tattoos, when she was younger, she was trying to raise money for a trip that she, for a competition she was in. And she had knitted these really adorable owls. And they were selling like crazy. She was selling them for $25 a piece. She raised a few hundred dollars to go on her trip. And at the end of that summer, she said, I never want to look at another owl as long as I live. She was exhausted. And she had recognized that even though they sold for $25, it was taking her days to create these owls. And $25 just wasn't enough for her for the time that she was putting in. So she didn't have any outstanding orders. She didn't have any commitments that she needed to fulfill. And at that point, it was perfectly acceptable for her to say, I did this, and now I'm done.
Sure.
You know, sometimes, too, businesses stop before they even start.
Sure.
My daughter she loves to clean, and she also loves to organize. And so she went around, she got all geared up and started the business and made flyers and phone calls because she wanted to clean houses. She wanted that to be her business. And so she did all that she knew to do, and no one called. Actually, a few people called, but no one actually hired her because I think once they realized her age, they didn't trust that she could probably really clean the house. And so we were like, okay, this probably isn't going to work. But what burst out of that was she did have people contact her about come over and help organize because that's something that she could do a little room or a little space. And she did make a little bit of money off of that. And so sometimes you'll see they'll get an idea and be qualified and equipped to do it, but it just doesn't take. It doesn't fly.
Sure.
But something else is typically burst out of it.
Sure. How would you recommend that they get the startup money if it's needed? Would you do it as a loan? Would you?
No, we really discourage parents loaning kids money or asking other family members. Really, we believe wholeheartedly at the core of who we are as people out in the community and a voice speaking on radio and in newspapers, we continually encourage parents to raise debt-free children in general. We are not a fan of debt in any way, shape, or form. So we definitely don't want to start a business in the hole. But there are different ways that kids can earn that money. So they can sell some of the things that they have. They can certainly save birthday money, and they can save Christmas money. I had a couple of my younger boys wanted to start a small business, and they collected cans in the neighborhood for a number of weeks and then brought them to the recycling bin. It was very hard work. It didn't pay very much, but it gave them some seed money. And they can. What we don't discourage is if you have a really good idea, you can certainly look at crowdfunding options. Because if your idea is a good enough one, you will get other people excited about your idea and willing to fund it. That's different than a loan because when they're funding it through something like GoFundMe or Kickstarter, you don't have to pay it back. So certainly they can raise the funds in different ways. We just encourage them not to borrow the money. You know, we do believe in investing in our children, though. So, I mean, there are times where an investing can look like different things. It could look like investing in a form of training for them. It can look like investing, depending on the child, you know, and saying, you know what, I think this is viable. I'm going to invest the $20 in you to go get your cleaning supplies, to go clean houses, whatever it is. So there's a difference between investing in someone, which is more like a crowdfunding thing, as opposed to just doing a loan. We go to the extreme sometimes with the loan.
Yeah,
a donation. We've even taught our kids when we're out and about and they've left their money at home, if they want something, hey, Mom, can you spot me $5? I'll give it back to you when you get home. But that's also a loan mentality. And so we really try to take that to the extreme a little bit because we want that mentality to change in them.
We've been talking today to two Florida-based supermoms, Jenny Stallman and Jody Hageman, and we're talking about their book, Mom, How Can I Make Money? Helping Your Kid Become a Kidpreneur. I am a big fan, and the more that you speak, I'm becoming a bigger fan. So come to my house because I'm a drill sergeant, and I have very similar ideas to yours, so I appreciate what you're doing. Moving forward, what should you recommend that your children do with the money, once they make it? Do you have stipulations as to where it goes?
First and foremost, we want our kids who run a business to understand that the money that comes into the business belongs to the business and not to them, not initially anyway. So all the money that they mow a lawn and they get $25 from mowing a lawn, they themselves did not earn that $25, the business did. And we want them to be cognizant of all of the expenses that go into running a business. If it's a lawn mowing business, then they have that perhaps they rent the mower from their parents, as Chase did, Jody's son, when he first started before he purchased his own. So then he needs to put a percentage aside for that, for gas for the mower, maybe gas to get to the actual job. You have marketing materials, and he was saving money to purchase a lawnmower. So all of those things have to be taken into consideration before the child can figure out what their profit margin is. Then once they've figured out what their profit is, the business then pays them. They write themselves a check from the business. That's their pay. But we've taught our kids that the very first thing that you do when you receive money is you give a portion away, and then you save a portion, and what's left you spend. And once they have that spending money, we let them spend it on whatever they want, as long as it's not anything illegal or harmful. If they want to go spend their money, you know, on food and eat away their profit, that's their business. But as long as they've given some away, they've saved some of it, that spending money is theirs to freely enjoy.
I'm sure that this next question has everything to do with the age, but how do you help them make fundamental decisions, such as should they partner with a friend, should they hire employees, should they make the business legal? How do you coach them in the various aspects of having a business?
Well, I think the first thing is we really want to teach our kids to obey the law of the land, because the last thing you want is to get in a situation where you can get yourself or your parents in trouble. So you always want your kids, and even as a parent, you want to know what the laws are. And in anywhere in our country, if you're under the age of 18, you cannot partake in a contract. So right off the bat, that cuts out any partnership, because two children can't enter a legal contract.
Yep.
And a child can't enter one with an adult. So that's a big fat no,
yep.
At least in our home. That's how we run it.
Sure.
And not only that, what that actually does is it alleviates a lot of headaches. Because, you know, kids bicker, people bicker. And why bring that into your business? This is something that you're trying to learn from, you're trying to grow, and hopefully you really enjoy. One of the things that you can do, though, one of the examples that we talk about often, and Chase had to do, and my nephew also has a business, is if they have a weekly business where they give a service, and if that's the case and you're going to take a two-week vacation, you need to find somebody to service your clients. Well, if you leave that up to the client, chances are you might lose that client because they might find someone else to permanently replace you. So what we recommend is partner with a buddy, partner with a friend, and say, hey, for these 2 weeks, I'm going to contract you out. And they handle the money with the person, but you've brought the person to the client, and the client knows that that person is there temporarily for 2 weeks, and then they get their regular, you know, you get your business back. That way it's all safe. But that also alleviates any kind of contract or anything, any kind of partnership that could turn out bad.
Sure.
But now children are responsible for paying tax expertise within that topic. And we do really strongly recommend that you create a legal entity, whether it be a DBA where you register the fictitious business name with your state, or, you know, depending on the size of the business, children probably are not going to form an LLC or a corporation. But unless they have a really, I mean, the young man that Jody knew who sort of inspired this was a millionaire.
Sure.
He had developed websites. And in that case, you would want the legal protection and the tax protection of a corporation. But for the most part, our kids are going to form a DBA. And they're going to pay taxes at the end of the year. If your business brings in more than $400, you're required to file tax. And they will need to file income tax as well. So we do recommend that parents guide children through learning the laws. And one thing that they can do is they can go to SCORE, and I believe it's score.org, and they can put their zip code in, and they can get free business counseling with somebody local.
I guess then we need to go into more of a happiness aspect. I think that one of the differences between the generations is that I can speak for my generation that many of us did work that we were not happy doing, but we also understood the necessity for having a job, making money, and then over time, hopefully, we landed in jobs that gave us some self-satisfaction. I'm wondering if happiness is your primary goal with guiding kids to having businesses, or whether or not you can also teach them that there's value in doing something you may not love, but which may be income producing and may have some educational value. Do you have any sense of that?
Well, I think right off the bat, my initial response to that is, I think the word I would rather use for my kids is content, that they're content where they're at. And that doesn't mean not trying to strive for something better. But you're going to find when the kids start starting their own business, they're either going to find out that they love it or they hate it. Or that it's, you know, it's okay. But for the most part, they're either going to love it or they're going to hate it. If you have a kid who loves money, no matter how much he hates it, he's probably going to keep doing it because he's making a lot of money and that's, you know, that's what matters to him. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be happy doing a lot of things. But you still have to do them. You know, I hate doing laundry, but I still have to do it.
Sure.
That's why it's so important that at a young age, and one of the reasons we want our kids to have businesses is we want to find out what they're passionate about. And if they're not passionate about it, when you're young, you have enough time to go try something else.
Sure.
You know, my son Chase wasn't passionate about lawn mowing. He loved landscaping. He loved being outside. But his passion was politics. And he went and became a lawyer, and now he's working in that realm. Jenny's daughter, she loves art, and she's somewhat passionate about it. But really, at the end of the day, what she really loves is music, and she's recorded professional music. So through this, you're going to find little streams and threads of things that your kids are passionate about. And if they know how to start a business, and they have that wisdom, and they have that knowledge, and they have that practice under their belt, they can go have a business in something they're passionate about. And that's really what you want.
Sure.
And Jody, one of the things that you hit on is that even within your areas of passion, there are still aspects of it that can be drudgery from time to time that we all have to learn how to push through. So even in my daughter's music venue, which is a business as well, that's her most favorite thing in the world to do. And yet, she still has to make uncomfortable phone calls at times to book venues and to gain support for her projects. She has to do the tedious work of social media to gain a following. And those things are not fun, but they're important to the overall goal. And I think that's a life lesson that can come out of running your own business.
Sure. What do you do with a child who is not motivated, cannot find anything that they feel passionate about? How would you guide them, and what tips can you offer for helping them try to either find the job or start the job?
Well, for starters, we have said many times that when kids don't know what they're passionate about, we need to give them the opportunity to get good and bored. In this generation, we tend to amuse ourselves to death. And this is especially true of children. Kids have access to amusement in ways that previous generations never did. They have hundreds and hundreds of channels on TV. They have the internet at their disposal. They have video games galore. And even at the local library, they can go and find electronic amusement. And that kind of sucks passion out. It preempts finding passion. And so what we often tell parents to do that are in this boat, and there are a lot of them, so if anyone who's listening and feels like their kid really doesn't know what they're passionate about, it's okay. You're not alone. So many kids are in that boat. But what we would say is a little bit uncomfortable at first. Turn the TV off, shut down screens, and let them get bored. And then give them resources to try different things. Let them take an old appliance apart and put it back together. Stock your house full of art supplies. Have some basic science equipment on hand and some great books from the library on how to do some kitchen science experiments. Give them opportunities to try different things. Let them become naturalists and find out what kind of things grow in your yard and what animals live there. And look for that spark. At first, they'll resist it, but over time, that imagination will rise up from behind the boredom and they'll begin to explore and allow them to come to the end of an interest. When they've exhausted something, let them move on.
I'm wondering if there's one situation or one kid who just stands out beyond your original, the person who gave you the inception for this. I'm wondering if there's one kid who you can just share very quickly how you saw them find a passion, start the business, and go on for much bigger things. Do you have anyone else you'd like to mention?
Boy, we know so many. It's hard to...
Do you really?
We know quite a few kids who've done some pretty impressive things. No one other than the ones we've said are jumping out. We do know of one young man, and it's sort of an interesting thing because it isn't the actual business itself that grew tremendously, but it was sort of what he did with it. We know a family who's extremely creative, and they're very musical. And so the one daughter funded a trip to Tanzania almost exclusively with playing music out on the street. She literally would, you know, put a hat out, and that in a sense was a business. And her brother had tried a variety of different business ideas, and he too eventually, from the work that he spent, one of the things about business that's really interesting is that it creates a work ethic. It creates a work ethic like other things don't. And this particular young man took some of the tools that he had built in business and applied them to music and has since gone on to earn $40,000 in scholarships from the work that he has done in music.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that every kid who starts and completes a business is a success story in one way or another. There are so many little stories that come out of starting a business, even when they fail.
So
there's nothing like starting a business that can teach your kid the way that business can teach your kid.
And is that the tip you'd like to leave us with?
Parents say that their kids are lazy. And what we really want to say is your child isn't lazy. They just haven't found what they're passionate about. So stop saying they're lazy. Turn off the screens. Let them get good and bored and let them discover their own creativity and let them start thinking for themselves.
We've just spent a fascinating half hour discussing many ways for our children to become entrepreneurs in our fast-paced, ever-changing society. My guests, Jenny Stallman and Jody Hageman, can be found at jennyandjody.com. That would be J-E-N-N-I and Jody, J-O-D-Y. Their wonderful book, Mom, How Can I Make Money, can be purchased on their website. I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in during this half hour. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. And until next time, I hope you take care.